my friend, David Hartman.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Yep. Hi. Evening, everybody. Before we start the program, we have a special treat, a special guest. Please welcome the Honorable Dr. Heather Wilson. She is the Secretary of the United States Air Force. Thank you, ma'am.
On behalf of the 660,000 members of the United States Air Force, our airmen wanted to welcome you to tonight's event. And it's very special in our heritage. The Doolittle Raiders took off from the USS Hornet in the Pacific Ocean to strike the mainland of Japan 4 months after the United States survived Pearl Harbor. We brought the fight to the enemy. And we're doing that every day, again, on behalf of the citizens of the United States, protecting the United States against all enemies. So I wanted to welcome you to tonight's event and welcome to the families and the descendants of the Doolittle Raiders.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Just to give a heads up about the evening, we're going to have our live discussion here. We're going to start with a 6-minute preamble video, then have our live conversation. Then we're going to show a 30-minute part of a documentary about Dick Cole's life, which is wonderful. And then at 7:30, 14 B-25s are going to engine start and taxi to do the commemorative flight honoring the Doolittle Tokyo Raid. Just so you know, that will happen. The engine starts at 7:30. But we have set up camera and sound over there, so you'll be able to see and hear that on the jumbo screens here. So that's the evening. So let's start. Roll a video, please. Enjoy the Tokyo Doolittle Raider Gang. Thanks.
I was assigned to the ferry command set up at Dallas, Texas. And when I got to Dallas, I was reassigned to the Douglas plant at Tulsa, Oklahoma as a ferry control officer. My job was to turn the paperwork over to the incoming crews. In some respects, it was pretty good because some of the pretty young ladies were flying airplanes. I was supposed to test up a B-24. I went out to the airplane and was making a walk around, and this young lady came up on a bicycle. And she said, "I want to fly in a big airplane. I'm taking flying lessons to be a WASP at Spartan," which was across the field. And I said, "Well, you can't do that because we can't take people on test op. Besides, there's no parachute." I got in the airplane and the co-pilot came, and so did the crew chief. So we fired up and took off. At about 12,000 feet, who came up into the cockpit area but this young lady. So we had to scrub the mission. And we got on the ground, and I was filling out the form on, and the co-pilot that took out a match cover thing says, "Here," gave it to her, and said, "Put your telephone number on here." She did, wrote it out, and gave it to me.
It was a typically beautiful Honolulu morning. Sunday, December 7, 1941. Some were on their way to church, others sleeping off Saturday night fun, while the military and civilians enjoyed their quiet, comfortable, complacent dawn. Six Japanese aircraft carriers were steaming to within flying range of Pearl Harbor and Ford Field. At exactly 7:48 a.m., the first of 353
Japanese planes started dropping bombs on the bulk of our country's Pacific fleet, which was mostly lined up, tied up, still in the water, in the tiny harbor, sitting ducks. 9 minutes later, at 7:57 that awful morning, a radio message crackled across the island, quote, "Air raid, Pearl Harbor, this is not a drill." In the stunning two-hour surprise attack by Japanese aircraft and submarines, 18 ships were sunk or damaged. Most of nearly 300 Navy, Marine, and Air Corps planes were decimated where they sat on tarmacs. Only a handful of American military aircraft got off the ground. 29 Japanese planes were shot down that morning. More than 2,400 of our Marines, sailors, soldiers, and civilians died. Nearly 1,200 were wounded. The world would never be the same. In a speech to Congress and the country the next day, President Roosevelt, declaring war on Japan, referred to the previous day of the attack, quote, "a date that will live in infamy."
A state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Admiral Yamamoto, the Japanese fleet commander, who masterminded the attack, said, quote, "I fear all we have done today is to awaken a great sleeping giant and fill him with terrible resolve," unquote. Little did he know. Fortunately, 75 years later, our countries are friends. The Japanese attack was intended to not only destroy much of our Pacific fleet, but our morale as well. Roosevelt responded by pressing our military leaders to strike the Japanese homeland as soon as possible to send a message that attacking America was a big mistake. On April 18, 1942, 4 months later, 80 American airmen, led by Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle, in 16 B-25 medium bombers, successfully attacked many targets in Japan. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Dick Cole. They're all standing up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also joining us, one of Jimmy and Joe Doolittle's granddaughters. Her name is Jonna Doolittle. She has written a wonderful, wonderful afterburner biography about her grandparents, Jonna Doolittle Hoppus. Jonna?
Hello, hello.
And a grandson of Jimmy and Joe Doolittle. He's an Air Force 30 years active duty colonel, retired aviator, 200 missions in A1 Sky Raiders, when he beat me to it.
So you can see, and he has to listen to this now. over 200 missions in the A-1 Sky Raider, has over 12,000 hours as a pilot. He was a multi-tour test pilot at Edwards Air Force Base for many years and a former commandant of the test pilot school at Edwards Flight Test Center. And this is Jimmy Doolittle III. So you heard in the video about the president speaking to the country after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It was just 3 weeks later, on December 21st, when he sat down with the military leadership and said, the United States has got to bomb Japan and do it soon and do it in secret. Pretty tall challenge at the time. There was one bomb group, the 17th, stationed and based up in Pentland, Oregon, that already had B-25s, and it was decided then that that was the aircraft would be the only one possible that could get off an aircraft carrier. So, Dick, there you were as a co-pilot, right, in the bomb group up in Pendleton, Oregon, flying anti-submarine stuff in the Pacific. But very soon, there were new orders, and the whole bomb group was ordered back to South Carolina. What did they tell you the reason was to go back to South Carolina?
South Carolina, and do some training there. And then we were headed for Africa, North Africa.
For Africa.
Yeah.
But at some point, you were transferred down to what is now Eglin Air Force Base.